dark figure of loneliness. Because what came to my mind, and I hope this is of the Lord and not just my flesh, but we can weigh that up between us. What sat with me was, there's many times that I as an individual have walked into a church service lost and lonely and helpless and feeling unworthy, and I've sung the song and I've heard the message and I've given an outward appearance of what wasn't happening on the inside. So I'm hoping and trusting that what I'm going to read out now will be more appropriate for this morning, and I'm hoping and trusting that the few moments that we have when I share will speak to you and encourage you and release you and give you the opportunity to say to the Lord afresh, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Isaiah 61, a portion of scripture that many years ago I found myself in America on a stage. And as the orchestra started to strike up and the band started to accompany and the vocalist started to sing, this is the year of the favor of the Lord. There was something within me that just came alive. The hairs on the back of my neck and my arms, and they are now, they just stood on end. And I'm going, what does this mean? This is the year of the favor of the Lord. And they start to sing. And I want to read, not sing, these words to you. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's upon you. Because the Lord has anointed me. He's anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. The poor are the individuals that have not had the opportunity to hear the good news. But we have, haven't we? Amen? You're allowed to interact. We are not the poor in spirit. We are those that have been enlightened. But I want to say afresh today that we do have an enemy. The enemy comes. It says, the Bible says, he prowls around looking for that in which he can devour. And years ago, I looked at that word devour. And part of the meaning is to break down into small pieces. So if you think about the word devour, it means to consume quickly. To break down into small pieces. And the only way that the enemy can devour us as Christians is to keep breaking bits off. That you're worthless, you're useless. We've heard today that we can come with thanksgiving, with joy in our hearts. Though I walk through the valley, the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because I understand that you are for me. Your rod and your staff, it comforts me. Jesus, help me. And I want to bring to us today something anew through these scriptures. I just want to say that when it says here, he has sent me, this is Jesus has been sent by God to bind up the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted? I have. Have you? Well, Jesus came to bind you. To put you back together. I was sharing with someone earlier that there's a portion of scripture that really spoke to me many years ago, and it was where it says, he that falls upon the rock will be broken, but he that the rock falls upon will be crushed. And I may be taking this completely out of context, but what it said to me was this. It says that Christ is the rock, yes? And when we fall upon him in our brokenness, he mends us, doesn't he? He binds us together. But if we refuse to fall on him, then the weight of sin and the world around us just crushes us. So it's a good place to be brokenhearted, because Christ can mend you. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, it's like I'm preaching to the converted. I apologize. But it's good to be reminded that in the Beatitudes that I was going to preach on, it says, blessed are those that. Blessed are. We are blessed. We are blessed. Blessed are those that have been forgiven. Amen. Blessed are those that have been redeemed. Blessed are those that when they die an earthly death will live an eternal life. Blessed are you when people persecute you for Jesus' name's sake, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Blessed are we. So when we read these scriptures, we can say He's been sent to come to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. We have that freedom in Christ. To the release from darkness for the prisoners. We're Christians. We shouldn't be in darkness, should we? But some of us are imprisoned by our own thoughts, our own processes, our own weaknesses. Can I share something about myself? Thank you. When I was younger, I was imprisoned by loss, by tragedy, by bereavement. My grandfather used to live with me and my mum and my dad and my brothers and sisters. And my grandfather was a great influence in my life. And at the age of 8, my grandfather died. And then at the age of 11, my father died. And because of that, I became trapped in this body of not knowing who I am and what my purpose in life was. I was in darkness. I was imprisoned by my own thoughts of inadequacy. And I tried to look for a father figure week after week, month after month. And then, at the age of 30, I became born again, spirit-filled. And you would think, now I've arrived and all those situations that I've just spoke about would have been gone. But no, it wasn't. It was the beginning of my journey. And I started to search for a father figure. And suddenly I realized after many years of disappointment within the church, many years of disappointment with myself, I realized that he is my father. It's the same for you. You might be looking to your husband or your wife or your friend or your pastor or someone in authority to be that rock for you. But I want to remind you today, and maybe this is just for one person, maybe it's for more, that Christ is your rock. And it's okay to fall upon him in brokenness. Because when we fall upon him in brokenness, he'll mend us. But if we don't fall upon him in brokenness, the weight of the sin and the weight of this world's circumstances and situations will crush us. See, Jesus has come to set us free. Release from darkness for the prisoners. You see, if you haven't got it, you can't give it, can you? If you haven't got peace, you can't give peace. When you go into your daughter's home and your grandchildren, if you haven't got it, you can't give it, can you? If you haven't got that peace within you, you can't bring peace. What does Jesus say? When you enter that house, leave your peace. You can't leave your peace if you haven't got it. You can't speak life if the life of the Lord isn't in us. And I want to suggest today that there's times in the walk of a Christian that we don't realize that the enemy is devouring us because he's only taken a small piece at a time. He's taken our integrity. He's taken our finances. He's taken our humility. He's taken our wisdom. Just small bits at a time. But those small bits add up to a big bit. When you look at a jigsaw puzzle, it could be a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And at the beginning of that jigsaw puzzle, if there was a handful of pieces missing, you wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't. Until the pictures start coming together, and then suddenly you'd realize there's a piece missing. You see, in our lives, we're a picture that God has painted. And God wants us to be complete in him. And the enemy wants to steal and rob and destroy, yes? So the enemy there taking pieces that we don't realize he's already taken. God has the box of your life. He has the picture of your life. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows the middle. And he doesn't want any bit to be missing. So if there's anything missing in your life that I know there is missing in my life at times, I'm here to say today as a fellow Christian that God wants you to take back what the enemy has stolen, and see that picture afresh. See what God has said and what he is saying to you. He's come to proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. That means undeserved. You can't earn it, just accept it. How many times, one of my biggest problems as an individual was, you might find this strange, but I'll tell you what I didn't have a problem with, and then I'll tell you what I did have a problem with. This is a non-Christian and as a Christian. I never had a problem with giving. I never had a problem with being generous. I never had a problem with sharing the Mars bar that I had. But I had a problem receiving the Mars bar that you wanted to give me, that the world wanted to give me, that good, well-meaning Christians wanted to give me, that God wanted to give me. I had a problem with receiving. I didn't have a problem with giving. And that may sound upside down, because you'd think that I wouldn't have a problem with giving, but maybe I could have a problem with giving back to others, receiving but not giving. But no, for me, I could give, but I couldn't receive. Can you imagine how frustrated God is with us when he's saying, I have a gift, take it. And you go, no, possibly couldn't. And that was me in before I became a Christian. That was me when I became a Christian. God said, I want to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Yeah, but I'm not worthy. And I want to remind us today, it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. The enemy's out to rob and steal and destroy. One bit at a time. Let's take it back today. Is he trying to rob you of your finances, your health, your relationships? Is he trying to encourage you to settle for second? You see, I can say this because I've had the conversation with Mike. Mike doesn't see that wheelchair as a disability. He sees it as an opportunity. Is it true? You wouldn't have learned the lessons you learned if you hadn't have been in a horrific accident. God wouldn't have been able to. He physically put you back together. You see, Mike fell upon the rock and Christ knitted him back together. You may be in a situation where you don't want to accept it. Well, Christ is your healer. He is your redeemer. Maybe the enemy has lied to you and say, this will never work. You know, you've heard the phrase, make it up as you go along. Well, I'm trusting that God is speaking through me, through the power of his Holy Spirit. And it's not just hot air, it's not just words of eloquence, but there'll be a power within there for you to allow God to minister to you where you are. Maybe you've frantically been rushing from place to place, trying to fulfill your duty as a man or a woman, to be a provider, to be a carer, to be a source of strength. And the enemy is constantly telling you it's not enough. Well, Christ is enough. He's enough for you. Maybe you've been hurt by someone else. Christ is enough. The enemy comes and say they deserve it. Well, they deserve your forgiveness as well. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. See, Christ is coming back for a victorious church. He's come to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. The oil of joy. I cry at Lassie films, so I'm dreadful. You know, before I was a Christian, I was hard-nosed, I was hard, I wouldn't cry. I never cried for best part of my knowledge that I can remember, really cry until I was 30. And at the age of 30, I made a commitment to the Lord. And all that pain of losing my loved ones, I was on the floor, my face on the floor, and I didn't even know about the Holy Spirit, let alone what the Holy Spirit was doing. And as I laid there, I found myself just crying out in the middle of a church service. How embarrassing is that? In the middle of a church service, at the top of my voice, and you know I have a big mouth. God, I want my dad back. How dare you take my dad? How dare you rob me of my family? And at that moment, he came in and he said, I've come to give and healing and wholeness. But I had to fall upon the rock in order to be broken for God to mend me. So what's God saying to you today? What have you been robbed of? God says he wants to give you it back. Take it. What have you got to put right with God today? What is it that you are saying, Lord, I want that oil of joy instead of mourning? Because we do put on a happy face sometimes, don't we? When inside all around is sinking sand. And we want that solidness of that rock that we know that all is well with my soul. Yes? I hope this makes sense to someone today. Because church should be a place where we find healing and wholeness. We find the joy of the Lord is our strength. We was talking about it in home group the other week. Joy is something that happens on the inside. Happiness is what happens on the outside. So you can be walking through tough times and experience God's joy. I want you to experience God's joy today, even though you may have a heavy heart. He wants to give you that garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Here's a word. Is there anyone today? Don't put your hand up. That's in despair. Well, God wants to give you a garment of praise. And with a garment, this is a garment. It's a nice garment, made by Jaeger, just in case. But we have to put it on, don't we? You see, these are simplistic words. God's given me a coat that will keep me warm and dry. But I have to put it on. God's given you all that he gave his son Jesus Christ. Everything has been nailed to the cross, ready for you to come and take it. So that garment of praise that this scripture talks about is there, but you have to take it and you have to put it on. I have to take it, I have to put it on. There's times in my life where I have been in despair. And someone has said to me, how did you go through that situation? And I could honestly say, because I put on that garment of praise. Once I put that garment of praise on, the joy of the Lord became my strength. See, we can read the scripture, and if we don't put on the garment of praise, the joy of the Lord won't be our strength. Because it's only that praise that God gives us by clothing us in his righteousness, that we're right standing with him, that we can say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you in me. Garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. This is all about God's people. They will restore places long devastated. Do you need restoration today? Is there something that has rotted and corroded? I used to be a panel beater and paint sprayer, and part of my job was to cut the rot out of a panel and restore it so that on the outside it looked brand new. Well, God doesn't just cut the rot out and put a patch in. He gives us new. You know, he gives us new. New heart. He gives us a new day. He gives us a new hope. Restore places long devastated. Maybe there's some restoration needs today. Maybe this word is just for me. Maybe God is saying, Andrew, I need to restore in you the love that you once had for me. So maybe it's just for me. That's still good because you want to see me blessed, yes? I want to see you blessed. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. There'll be times where God will speak to you via someone else and you'll know that he's blessing you. You will be called priests of the Lord. When Jesus hung on the cross and he breathed his last, just before that moment he says, "It is finished." And it says that the curtain was torn from top to bottom, yes? By doing that, God was giving you and me access to him. No longer did we need a priest. We became a priest. You became priests of the Most High. So you have access. How many times do you feel you're not worthy? You don't need to answer this because, as I say, it could be just for me. How many times do you not feel worthy to come in his presence because you've said something and you've done something and you feel you deserve not to have God's blessing? Well, God says his mercies are new every morning. He says he's made you priests. Priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers. See, God knows us by name. Ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations. And in their riches you will boast. Instead of shame, he says to his people, you will receive a double portion. One of the prayers I had, I still have, is I want a double portion. of whatever it is God has for me. Do you? Isn't that greed? Well, God says that he wants to give us a double portion, so why shouldn't we take it? Everything is there. Let's take it. Let's take what God has for us this morning. What the enemy has stolen, let's take it back. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's just let God minister to us through his word. Let him remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You are justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory. You're a royal priesthood. You've been adopted into his family. So let's take a moment and just rest in who we are. Let's settle it. Lord, we are your children. Is that an amen? Are you a child of God? Have you been redeemed? You've been set free from hellfire? You're heaven bound? Well, you're blessed. Has the enemy robbed you of something? Then take it back. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. There it is. Take it. Because either the devil is more powerful than God, or God is more powerful than the devil. Which is true? Is God more powerful? Have you ever been in an argument? I was in an argument when I was a child, and I said to the people that were coming at me, my dad is bigger than your dad. That's what I used to say. Because to me, my dad was a giant. I didn't know that he was dying of a brain tumor. I didn't know that he had a split personality and he tried to kill everyone in the house. And then the other minute he would love everyone. I didn't know that. I was protected. But I would say, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, as a Christian, I can say that. To the person who doesn't know God, my dad is bigger. See, Jesus has fought the fight so that you don't have to. All you have to do is receive it. See, faith is an incredible thing, isn't it? So often I've experienced in my Christian walk, and I've spoken and been with other people who have experienced that they feel they have to do something, earn something to receive God's blessing. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that all you have to do is receive something. Just receive God's goodness. Receive his blessing. Receive his double portion. Instead of disgrace, it says, you will rejoice in your inheritance. Disgrace isn't a nice word, is it? It's a word that makes us feel uncomfortable and dirty. Instead of disgrace, that goes. You will rejoice in your inheritance. Look to the cross. So you will inherit a double portion in your land. Believe it. And everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people. God doesn't lie, does he? The Bible says all the promises are yes, and the amen is spoken by us. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. God has made a blood covenant through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. And if we accept that shed blood on Calvary's cross, then we are one with God. And he is an everlasting God. And this is an everlasting covenant. Their descendants will be known among the nations. God wants to bless me, he wants to bless you, and he wants to bless our children and our children's children. And their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge. I want people to see us and acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. We've been going through the Beatitudes where it started with blessed. I'm going to end with that, blessed. They are a people the Lord has blessed. God's blessed you. God's blessed me. Even though at times, as someone put it earlier this week to me, it feels like you're walking through treacle. You are blessed. I am blessed. Let's invite our worship team. Let's go and grab our worship team from the back. Let's digest the good bits, throw out the rubbish. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you, then that's God, not me, isn't it? If the Holy Spirit is reminding you, it's God, not me. If you today, like me, are saying, Lord, here I am, use me, encourage me, I want that double portion, then take it during worship. Say, Lord, I want what you've got for me. If you know that the enemy has robbed you, and you know if the enemy's robbed you, you know sometimes if your selfish ambition has allowed you to be robbed, you know sometimes if the things you've said and not said has robbed you, you know if you're in lack, then take it back today. What the enemy means for evil, God turns it for our good. So today, as we come into a few moments of worship, use that opportunity. We would love to pray with anyone. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. The Bible also says that we can pray one for another. The Bible also says you don't need an intermediate because Christ became our intermediate. Yes? So you can ask God to speak directly into your heart. So whether it's you want to pray, us to pray with you, or you just want to say, Lord, I want to take back what's been stolen. Lord, I want what's mine. Lord, I want that double portion. Lord, give me peace in my heart. Give me joy in my spirit that I may walk forward knowing that I am the redeemed of the Lord, that you are for me and you're not against me, that you forgive me, you help me. I lay before you and cry to you as my heavenly Father. Lord, come. So worship team, forward. Lead us, please. Because if you don't sing, I'm going to keep talking.